choir, those great old songs of the faith that remind us who we've been, where we came from, the history, the solid, fresh, vital history we have as the people of God. If you didn't recognize some of those songs, that's all right. We will send you the tape. You can practice and show us next week that you've learned those songs. First Baptist Church has a wonderful and great history in the Brunswick County community. Did you know that this is 188 years of ministry for First Baptist Church in Brunswick County? Yeah. Roots that go back to 1837. I hope you've already, Tara Evans is our church historian. I hope you've already stopped by her table there in the entryway. If you have not, take a look at some of the items there, remind us of that rich history. And if you are here, if God has brought you to First Baptist Church, you are part of that history. And all who came before us prepared us for the time that we would be here, how we're serving now, and what comes next in the generations that follow. We're just delighted. We're grateful for them and for all who came before us, everything that happened. When the church was founded as Chapel Hill Church, to the growth of the community, the church becoming the First Baptist Church of Shiloh, the community continues to grow, and God continues to bless us in that as well. And we are a church family, whether we are near or we are far away. And one of our church family members, who's particularly far away, blessed us in a very special way this past week. William Boreola is deployed in the Middle East, particularly in Kuwait. And Nina provided, he sent to her a gift for us. She gave that to me on Wednesday night. And I have to tell you, when people ask me what I like about being a pastor, what's my favorite part of being a pastor? I've been asked that occasionally over the last three decades. I always say, the coolest thing, the thing I love the most, is seeing God change people's lives, especially when somebody comes to faith in Christ, and especially when a believer in Christ wakes up to what God wants to do in their lives. Well, next to that, now I have something that's really cool. William honored the First Baptist Church of Shiloh by flying the American flag in honor of the First Baptist Church of Shiloh in Kuwait. Yeah. Sent that folded flag to us with the certificate. So the deacons meet this afternoon. We're going to talk about how to especially honor that gift and that flag in the days ahead. Now say it with me. Is that not cool? That is very cool. Near or far, wherever you are, you are part of the First Baptist Church of Shiloh. This is your spiritual home, your spiritual family. That's why we call it homecoming, just so we can all remember that this church is part of our lives, and we're not here by accident. This is where God intends you to be. This is why you are here, because he wants you to be a part of this church family and to grow in grace and to participate in service here. Last week, we officially wrapped up our North Carolina missions offering, and you'll see in your bulletin, by the way, we dropped just a wee bit short, $96 short. If anybody's got $96 today, that would be cool. Or if 96 of you have $1, you know, help us reach or exceed that goal. But I love the theme of it, living sent. It's a reminder that God didn't save you so you could sit. God saved you so you could serve. God wants you to be a part of the great work of God right where you are in Brunswick County and even beyond, because a lot of times you never know where God's going to take you, right? And where he wants you to serve. But right now he has you and me here to serve him. Well, this morning we close out our series in the book of Joshua. So if you have your Bible, find it with me. Joshua, now chapter 24, all the way to the end, chapter 24. While you're turning there, I'll tell you what's coming up, give you a preview. Next week, we're going to begin a short series that'll take us into the holidays called Restoring Our Joy. You know, the Bible teaches that Christians should be joyful, and yet sometimes we don't always feel that way, do we? But the Bible teaches very specific things about the idea of joy in the Christian life, and some of you may occasionally, maybe right now, feel like you've lost that joy. You wonder what it means when the Bible says you should have joy in serving Christ or in your relationship with Christ. So we're going to explore that a little bit starting next Sunday. But this morning we wrap up our visit with Joshua and the Israelites as they come into the promised land, and we fast forward all the way to the end. So the people of God, the Israelites, are now they now possess the land that God has promised them. And in the passage we're going to read, Joshua stands one more time before the Israelites, and he gives them a charge from God, a call from God to renew their commitment to God. Because the next thing that's going to happen is all the tribes of Israel will go off to the land that's been apportioned to them throughout the land of Canaan. They will go off to their part. So this is the moment, this is the pivot point, this is the place where they will recommit themselves to the great values of God, to who God is, and to serving Him wherever they go and wherever they are in the land of Canaan. They belong to Him. But what's significant here is the very call to commitment itself, the very call to renew a commitment. Why does that happen? Why is that important? Usually with Christians and all believers, from the Old Testament to now, but I'm speaking to you, I'm speaking to Christians, speaking to myself right now. Usually there are two main reasons that we see God calling us to renew our commitment, and they go together. The first one is that we're at a pivot point in our life. Something has changed. Or something's about to change. This was the case with the Israelite people. This was after all the battles and all the planning and all the prioritizing, now came the living. Just living. And living for God right where they are. So they needed to be reminded of their commitment to Him. Right alongside that, one of the primary reasons that God calls us to renew our commitment is complacency. It's pivot, a change, a turning point in our lives, but also complacency. We've grown accustomed to just sitting. We've grown accustomed to the version of the Christian life that we live and not even realize that our commitment has waned. Maybe we've grown cold. Maybe we've grown complacent. And God calls us to a new commitment so that going forward we can serve Him faithfully. So go back to this passage with me, Joshua chapter 24. We're going to pick up at verse 14. As Joshua looks forward to the next stage, now all the battles have been won, all the prioritizing has been done, all the planning has taken place, now it's time to start living. And at this turning point, Joshua, on behalf of God, calls the people to renew their commitment. Joshua 24 and verse 14. Joshua says, "Therefore, fear the Lord and worship Him in sincerity and truth. Get rid of the gods your ancestors worshiped before beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt, and worship the Lord. But if it doesn't please you to worship the Lord, choose for yourselves today. Which will you worship, the gods your ancestors worshiped beyond the Euphrates River, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are now living? As for me and my family, we will worship the Lord." The people replied, "We will certainly not abandon the Lord to worship other gods. For the Lord our God brought us and our ancestors out of the land of Egypt, out of the place of slavery, and performed these great signs before our eyes. He also protected us all along the way. All along the way we went, and among all the peoples whose lands we traveled through. The Lord drove out before us all the peoples, including the Amorites who lived in the land. We too will worship the Lord, because He is our God." But Joshua told the people, "You will not be able to worship the Lord, because He is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions and your sins. If you abandon the Lord and worship foreign gods, He will turn against you, harm you, and to completely destroy you after He has been good to you." "No," the people answered, "we will worship the Lord." So Joshua then told the people, "You are witnesses against yourselves that you yourselves have chosen to worship the Lord." "We are witnesses," they said. "Then get rid of the foreign gods that are among you and turn your hearts to the Lord, the God of Israel." So the people said to Joshua, "We will worship the Lord our God and obey Him." On that day, Joshua made a covenant for the people at Shechem and established a statute and ordinance for them. Joshua recorded these things in the book of the law of God. He also took a large stone. He set it up there under the oak at the sanctuary of the Lord. And Joshua said to all the people, "You see this stone. It will be a witness against us, for it has heard all the words of the Lord said to us, and it will be a witness against you, so that you will not deny your God." Then Joshua sent the people away, each to his own inheritance. Maybe you're at one of those pivot points in life. Maybe you're at one of those decision points in life. Maybe you realize that you've been complacent, a little cold-hearted, grown cold in your walk with Christ. Maybe today is the day that God is calling you to renew your commitment to Christ, a fresh, revitalized commitment to Christ. There's a principle in this that I want you to tuck away just a bit. Remember this as we go along. Showing up is not the same thing as being committed. Showing up is not the same thing as serving, as being committed. This week, I reached out to a couple of our men who have served in the military. I myself haven't served our country. I haven't had that wonderful privilege and honor, but I know many of you have. And I reached out to a couple of our men who have served in the military because I was curious about the re-enlistment process and what that entails. And they shared this with me. This was really fascinating to me. And if you've not served, then you might find it fascinating as well. And if you have served, God bless you. Thank you for that so very much. But as one of them shared with me, when the time comes to re-enlist, the military personnel show up. They can't be on leave. They can't be on vacation. They have to show up in person. They have to show up in uniform. And they have to be on duty when they show up to re-enlist. Now, pause right there and consider, isn't showing up enough? Not only showing up, but showing up as one who serves. You're in uniform. You're on duty. Surely the previous years of service would qualify you to continue your commitment. Why would there be any question about that? Because that's not, the military knows, as well as what we just said, showing up is not the same thing as being committed. Showing up is not the same thing as serving. Even in showing up, if you outwardly, you look good, you look like you play the part, you've even been doing this for a while, why should you not just be accepted on that? No, no, no. See, the military understands what we need to grasp, that showing up is not the same thing as commitment going forward. And if they allow it to be, pay attention, if they allow just showing up, even in uniform, to be the same thing as commitment, it diminishes the commitment, the military, and the military personnel. It's basically saying it's not significant enough for you to do anything but show up. So that's not what they do. What do? They have an enlistment oath that's required of everyone. And here's a fascinating fact. It's the same oath they started with. I do solemnly swear that I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic, that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same, and that I will obey the orders of the President of the United States and the orders of the officers appointed over me, according to regulations and the Uniform Code of Military Justice, so help me God. Because they know showing up is not the same thing as the commitment. And if you allow it to be the same thing as the commitment, it diminishes the commitment, it diminishes the call, it diminishes the service, and it diminishes the person as well. And if the call is significant enough that at a turning point they come to recommit, they should fully recommit to everything they've said before. Now, before I go any further, let me make a clear point here. When I'm talking to you Christians here about recommitment, I'm not saying you need to get saved again. That's not what this is about. If you are saved and born again in Christ, that is a one-time, life-changing event. You are saved, forgiven by the blood of Christ, and you are given eternal life by the resurrection of Christ if you put your full faith and trust in Him. I just made up a word, trace. If you put your full faith and trust in Christ and Christ alone to save you, you don't need to do that again. Please understand, that's not what I mean by recommitment. What I'm talking about is that in your walk with Christ, there are times you grow cold and you tend to settle just as you are, and you forget the significance of that first commitment. You forget the significance of saying to Jesus every day, "You are my Lord, you are my Master." You grow cold and complacent, or you reach a turning point and you're in jeopardy of trivializing that commitment, of trivializing that turning point, of not looking ahead and endowing it with the kind of significance that it deserves. That's why God calls us to renew our commitment. That's why now and then God shows you and me in our hearts it's time to take a pause. It's time to recommit, to reevaluate what you're doing in your life, and calls us to a fresh commitment as we go forward. And God may find you in that place today. Maybe you've grown cold. Maybe you're complacent in your walk with Christ. Maybe you're not investing or endowing it with the kind of significance it deserves. Maybe you really want to serve Christ at this pivot point, this turning point in your life. Let's go back to the text. And I want you to see with me three particular things, three truths that God reveals for us about renewing that commitment. What does it mean? And what is God calling you to do? What action, what understanding does God want you to have? First of all, I want you to see with me that renewing our commitment always requires a decision. It always requires a decision. Joshua calls the people to a choice. It's a decision point. It's that moment that you realize you have got to make a change, you have got to renew your commitment. To put it another way, a real commitment never happens accidentally and it's never passive. Never. A real commitment is always the individual intentionally stepping up, stepping out, and renewing their commitment. Their decision is theirs. So Joshua calls the people to make a choice. The term translated choice in this passage is a word that is born in the roots of self-examination. It's saying take a hard look at who you are right now and make a choice. This is your pivot point. This is your turning point. Are you going to keep doing what you've always been doing? Are you going to make a decision and make a choice to move forward? And multiple times in the passage, they all understand, as Joshua says it, multiple times in the passage, the choice is what God will you worship. The term translated worship can also be translated serve. And Joshua says, as for me and my house, we will worship the Lord. You might have it in your translation, we will serve the Lord. The term means the same thing and it's wedded together because it is all through Scripture. To serve the Lord is to serve Him with a whole heart and to worship Him. They go together. Not to serve yourself, not to serve other gods, not to serve the culture. You serve and worship the one true God. And that's the core of the decision we make. If you've drifted off, if you become complacent, there's a good chance that you're serving other gods in the culture. There's a good chance you're serving yourself. So renewing that commitment always begins with this. It's a decision. And that turning point requires a decision to be made. Joshua says that, you caught this, I'm sure, it's a little startling in verse 19. He seems to turn it back on them when they say, yes, yes, we will worship the Lord. We will serve the Lord only. Yes, we would never turn away from Him to serve other gods. He says, well, let me get this straight, and you need to understand, God will not accept your worship. God will retaliate against you. God will not forgive you. But that doesn't sound like the God we know in Scripture. What is Joshua talking about? Here's what he's talking about. And here's what he's pointing out. Okay, you have said that. You have said you will worship Him and Him alone. You need to understand, if you're not saying that with a whole heart, if you're not saying that with sincerity, if you're just playing a game here, God will not accept your worship as worship. God will not accept you going through the motions. Joshua illustrates for us, and the passage illustrates for us, there are actually two components that go along with your decision. There's the attitude behind the decision. That's the first thing he says. This must be sincere and in truth. It must be, the terms together mean completely you. It must be a decision you make wholeheartedly, not half-heartedly, not going through the motions. There must be truth in it, and there must be integrity in it. Your attitude is that I will worship God and God alone, fully and wholeheartedly. Then he says there's an action that shows the decision. You've got the attitude behind the decision. The action that shows the decision is that you must get rid of other gods. Notice that's a two-sided decision. The first decision is to worship God and God alone. I will no longer sit back and play games, be complacent, and pretend like I'm worshiping God. And I will therefore also get rid of anything in my life that's incompatible with my first commitment. And the Bible views anything else in the place of God is a false god. That's idolatry. And Joshua calls them out on it. He says, you've got to Get rid of it. There's your second. That's the other part of that decision, is to get rid of it. You've got something in your life that interferes with your worship, your service to God. You've got something in your life that inhibits you serving God. You've got an old habit. You've got a behavior. You've got a bad attitude. You've got unforgiveness. You've got bitterness. The list goes on and on. You make a decision to get rid of it. You're letting culture seep into your Christian life. You're listening to voices you shouldn't be listening to, reading what you shouldn't be reading, scrolling where you shouldn't be scrolling. Get rid of it. Get rid of it. It is impossible for you to wholeheartedly worship the Lord your God, to make a commitment to worship the Lord your God, while you are hanging on to old stuff, old idols, old habits, and old behaviors. Get rid of it. There is an action that will demonstrate your renewed commitment. Are you ready to let stuff go? Are you ready to forgive? Are you ready to let the old life go? Are you ready to stop those habits that interfere with your serving God? Are you ready to focus on the Word of God and what God Himself says instead of the voices in the community and in the culture? So first, when God calls you to renew that commitment, it always requires a decision. I remember in 2011, our team was in Haiti after the earthquake, and we were building homes there. And every time we would build a structure for the family that had lost their home in the earthquake, we would have a worship service. We would dedicate the home. Among us and the Haitian Christians, the Haitian Baptists that were there, was a young man, and all he did the whole time we were working on those shelters was share the gospel with people in the village. And this particular day, we had built the structure, we had the worship service, and he was still talking to the father of the family for whom we'd built that shelter, and they were talking in their Creole and their language, and I didn't understand any of it. I was wrapping stuff up, and suddenly this gentleman, this Haitian Christian Baptist, turned to me, and he said, "Pastor Bob, come over here. I said, "Okay." And he looked at the man, and who wasn't upset, he wasn't angry, he didn't look flustered, he just was standing there. And the gentleman said to me, he knows the decision he needs to make, but he's holding back. What would you say to him? And the Lord brought one thing to mind, just one thing. So I said, "Translate this. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Today. There's an urgency behind the gospel," I said. "And if you're presented with the gospel of Jesus Christ, if you're presented with the opportunity to commit or recommit right now is the time to do it." There's a little more back and forth in their language, and suddenly we were praying as that man trusted Christ. Because once it gets through to us, it requires a decision. We don't delay that decision. And if God is calling you to a fresh commitment or a first-time commitment to Christ, today is the day. Today is the day. Secondly, renewing our commitment always demonstrates our gratitude. It always demonstrates our gratitude. We sang about this just a little while ago, that our commitment to Christ and our love for Jesus arises out of our gratitude for what He's done for us. Look back at verse 16 and notice what motivated the people in their fresh commitment. The people replied, "We will certainly not abandon the Lord to worship other gods, for the Lord our God brought us and our ancestors out of the land of Egypt, out of the place of slavery, and performed these great signs before our eyes. He also protected us all along the way we went, and among all the peoples whose lands we traveled through. The Lord drove out before us all the peoples, including the Amorites who lived in the land. We too will worship the Lord because He is our God." What was the number one thing, the first upfront reason they were renewing their commitment to worship Him? The upfront reason they said, "We will always worship God." They were grateful for their salvation. God rescued them, they said. God protected them, they said. God drove out their enemies, they said. God led them through the wilderness and into the land He had promised them. They trusted Him, and God came through. And the basis for it all was their thankfulness, their gratitude for their salvation. You want to re-enliven your commitment? You want to refresh your commitment? Remember the day you were saved. And help us if we can't remember that. Because there's nothing like looking back on that day, Christian, that you came to faith in Christ. You realize what He did for you on the cross, the salvation He has given you in Christ, the eternal life you have because of Christ, the joy you have in Christ, the liberty you have from all the shackles of despair, from all the struggles of life. He has set you free. He has led you forward. He has provided for you. He has driven out the enemy in your life. I don't know about you, but I think we've got reason to be grateful. And a fresh, renewed commitment is always honestly, truly, sincerely grateful to Almighty God. And you say, Pastor Bob, there's a lot going on in my life. Do I have to be grateful for that? You can always be grateful for God. You can always be grateful that God has not abandoned you, left you in the wilderness. He's not given up on you, and you can always be grateful for God's salvation. If you need a good reason to step out and renew that commitment, remember today what God's done for you in Christ. A renewed commitment always demonstrates gratitude. Always demonstrates gratitude. Then last, when we renew a commitment, it always includes accountability. That's why we're a family of God, why we're the people of God. We rally together lovingly and honestly, pray for each other, encourage each other, and occasionally hold one another accountable for our walk with Christ. Accountability is woven into the whole passage. The whole story reverberates with a particular truth that Joshua sets before them early. This decision is your responsibility to God. You're not doing this for me. It's a decision you make to God, a commitment you're making to God. So be careful about that commitment. God takes it very seriously. When He says, choose this day whom you will worship, whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. It's a public commitment. Joshua proclaims, they will worship the Lord. They will serve the Lord. And it's a call to personal responsibility. As for me and my house, I am responsible for me. I am responsible for my house, and you are responsible for you. Then as the passage closes out, He says, you are witnesses against yourself to God. The vows you make, the commitment you make, that is, God holds you accountable for that. And then He says, I'm going to write it down in the book of God's law. We're going to put it here in history. And then He says, we're going to set up a rock right here. And more metaphorically, this rock speaks to your commitment, your vow to God. Now, of course, it's metaphor because the rock's not talking. But His point is, from now on, every generation, everybody that sees, remembers that rock will remember your vow. Remember who you said you are. Remember who you said you would worship. Every time we come in this building and sit down, this whole community remembers. This is our memorial stone. You're sitting in it. It's our declaration that we will serve Jesus Christ in this community. This church is the building that's our launch point. You're the church. This is the building. You're the people of God. It's your launch point. Then you rally back to worship God, to celebrate Him, to renew your commitment, to go out again and be the church and the culture. And as long as this building stands, everybody looks at it and says, that's their accountability. We hold First Baptist Church accountable to be the church of Jesus Christ and the community as God's called them to be. And we hold one another accountable. But most importantly, you are responsible to God. You're responsible to God for your decisions. You're responsible to God for your behavior. We see you, and you look pretty good on the outside. Well, most of you. You look pretty good on the outside. You're here. You're participating. Good for you. But have you grown cold in Christ? Are you at a turning point in your life that jeopardizes your walk with Christ? You want to be sure that you're anchored in the right place, that your priorities are correct, that your commitment is sound and firm before you go forward. Are you the person you claim to be? Have you heard of Tilly Norwood? Tilly Norwood is an up-and-coming actress in the UK, 20-something lady, has really made a splash in the UK in acting and also now in Hollywood. She's getting a lot of attention in Hollywood. So much so that there's one reviewer that referred to Tilly Norwood recently because of a scene she had in an action movie, referred to her as the next Scarlett Johansson, a real rising star. The only problem is Tilly Norwood is AI generated. She's not even real. And you can go online and you can watch clips from her movies. You can watch a clip from her supposedly being interviewed on television at different talk shows. But the interesting thing is, at face value, she looks like an actress. And anyone who's not an actor or an actress might not know the difference. We might not see it different at all. But she's 100% fake. Exists only online. And AI-generated content. When people look at you, they might say, wow, he's a great Christian. Wow, she's a great Christian. She's in church every Sunday. When God looks at you, what does he say? How you doing with that Christian life? With that first-time commitment? When you look back on that commitment you made at some point, how are you doing? Is today the day to step up and renew that commitment to Christ? Before you go any further, before you do anything else, is today the day to say honestly to him, God, forgive me. I've been cold. I've been complacent. I've let sin in my life. God, forgive me for that. This is my turning point, God. This is where I want to go forward from here. I want to serve you faithfully. Wherever you put me, whatever you call me to do, you and you alone, that's who I want to serve. If you would stand with me as the worship team returns, I'm going to pray for us. I'm going to ask you to respond to Christ today. Maybe this is your turning point. This is the moment God's speaking to you to renew that commitment to Christ on this homecoming Sunday. Let me pray for us. We're going to sing together, and then I'll invite you to respond. Heavenly Father, we stand in this place as faithful as we're able to be, but yet also, God knowing, as frail as we are. But you know us, Father. You know our hearts. You know who we are. You know what we think. You know where we've been. You know the decisions we've made. You know, Father, whether or not we've let other gods seep into our lives, whether we've turned away from you, whether we've grown cold or complacent. You know, God, that this is a turning point for us, Father. You know that. So, God, I pray we would come before you with open hearts, willing, God, to let you speak to us, willing, God, to say, I want to renew my commitment today. So, Father, I pray first for Christians here and at home that we need to start over, God. We need to renew and refresh our commitment to you on this homecoming Sunday. We need to get rid of anything in our lives that hinders our walk with Christ and start fresh with you today. And I pray, Father, for those here and at home that need to begin again first time with Christ. We need to trust Jesus as our Savior for the very first time, to repent of our sin and come to Christ. God, I pray that we trust Christ for salvation today. So God, as we sing, I pray you'd move in our midst today. God, I pray we'd respond as you're calling us to respond. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.